Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, Sag Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vien and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome on into a special edition of Sports Talk, folks. Me and Mike Dettillier, Steve Geller on the road here in Houma, at Houma the Chicken, Rouse's Market, hanging out here just a couple days before Thanksgiving. You can do some shopping, hang out with me and Mike, talk some LSU Saints. Had some moves today for the Black and Gold, announcing a few roster moves, the most grabbing one that got your attention. They have moved on from kicker Blake Groupe and have signed Cade York, former LSU Tiger, to the practice squad. So I'm assuming, Mike, by that York as well as Charlie Smith will compete this week leading up to Sunday.
Yeah, I think it's Cade York. He's got experience in NFL games. Now, he's bounced around. He's lived the nomad life of a kicker. Cleveland, Cincinnati, Washington. So he's bounced around. But put it to you this way, in the last 25 years, I never saw a kicker with more physical gifts at LSU than Cade York. Man, he could hit a football. Now, sometimes it wasn't straight, but that's been a problem in the NFL, his lack of consistency.
Well, Rutro, we just got rid of a guy like that.
Well, we'll find out, and you never know when you hit that groove. So I guess they're going to give Cade that opportunity. So let's go to our talking text line from Tiger Bait. You hear him in Baton Rouge, also with us quite often, Buddy Sanji. Buddy, I know you ain't had nothing to do for the last week and a half. That's why I give you a call to get you on here on Sports Talk. How you doing, bud?
Good to talk with you, Mike. Good to talk with Steve. Charlie back at the studio. Yeah, Cade York, he's a saint. He also married his girlfriend, a Dallas Cowboy cheerleader. And let me tell you something, folks. You go to Cleveland, you go to Washington, you go to Cincinnati, and you come back to Louisiana and kick for the New Orleans Saints, marry that beautiful cheerleader. Life is good. Hit the 57-yarder in the fog against Florida. Mike, I hope he sticks. And Steve, happy to be with you on this Tuesday afternoon.
Buddy, the funniest thing about that kick, and I talked to Coach O about it, and he said, Mike, I heard him, the ball hit, the foot hit the ball.
Yeah.
I never saw it, and what I saw was the referee threw his hands up. But I never saw the ball once he kicked it, because he said it was so foggy. We sort of lost it in there. Like he said, from where you were watching it on TV, it was a much better view. Because he said, I got to see that view after the game. He said it was a much better view than I had. I had no view. He said, we were just watching the referees, and when they threw their arms up, I was like, man, I'll be damned. Cade hit that, and nobody really saw it. So hopefully we'll get some of those moments with Cade York in the black and gold. Buddy, I know you've done this a long time like me. You never say never, and you're never certain about anything. And now we're dealing with a cat that's even worse than anybody we've dealt with on giving an answer in Lane Kiffin, because he's one of one. He's kind of the Bill Parcells of college football. You don't know what movie he's going to make next. From everything you're hearing, tell us where you think this ends up, and will it be Lane Kiffin in that announcement Saturday coming to LSU?
Well, I will say this right out of the gate. I worked this story morning, noon, and night for about 10 days, and then after Kiffin went in there, after his meeting with Keith Carter, the Ole Miss AD, and said, look, I want to coach the Egg Bowl, I kind of handed it off to Mike Scarborough and his team, and they continue to work it each and every day. We feel like there hasn't been a lot of new information, but I will tell you what everyone is talking around over here. Obviously, the Egg Bowl Friday morning over at Mississippi State. If Ole Miss wins that game, they'll be 11-1 and certainly a shoe-in for the college football playoffs. And Lane will get peppered in that press conference afterwards. Is this your final game? Yada, yada, yada. It already started yesterday with the press conference leading up to the game. At some point, they've got to make a decision. And, Mike, this is the interesting thing. I think Lane Kiffin has always coveted this LSU job, but we're hearing that the money that LSU is throwing at him is obscene and unprecedented, $15 to $16 million a year and another $30-plus to $35 million-plus for the portal NIL and building your roster each and every year. How's he going to step away? I just heard my buddy, Bingo Bango Bongo, Tim Brando, known Timmy for many, many years, and he said it. You know, he could pull the wool over everybody and stay with Ole Miss, but I don't know if the Ole Miss people feel confident about that. The Florida group certainly feels like there are some overtures and history on their side, and then LSU, I would say around here, it's about a 60% go, but I don't know whether to trust Lane Kiffin and his agent, Jimmy Sexton. This thing is going on, and Mike, as everybody out there knows listening, you've got a sense of urgency. 8 days from today, the recruiting cycle starts. You've got a three-day window, December 3rd, 4th, and 5th. The portal is a month later, January 2nd through 16. And then to throw in another crazy tidbit, Mike, if Ole Miss beats Mississippi State and Kiffin goes to LSU and announces that, how is the CFP going to look at that with an 11-1 Ole Miss team not knowing what they're going to look like with a new coach moving into the playoffs? And so this is about as crazy as it gets. And, you know, Sports Illustrated had a cover years ago, Crazy Days at LSU. You can bring back that old magazine again, Mike and Steve.
We'll just put Kiffin's face on it instead of Dale Brown, okay?
Yeah.
We'll kind of switch it around a little bit. Here's my take on it, buddy. I really think if we're looking at it from a conventional point of view, if he wanted to stay, why wouldn't he have said it by now? And not kind of leave your team out there in purgatory. And, you know, he's dragged this on. And then we heard maybe a Friday announcement. Now we're hearing possibly a Saturday announcement. This would seem to indicate that he is looking to move on, that it's either going to be LSU or Florida. And I'm not going to take Florida out of the running with that. Because they got a lot to offer also. But we're not dealing with a conventional guy here that, you know, he's going to dance to the beat of his own drum, and that this could turn out to be totally opposite from what anybody is thinking. And that would be for most people at Ole Miss that give money. Their deal is, at this stage, I'm fed up with it.
Yep.
I'm really fed up with it. The young reporters can report what they want to report, but I'm fed up with it. Either he wants to be here or he doesn't. That's some indication that he's looking to move on.
Hey, listen, I agree. I mean, I give crazy analogies, but you don't give somebody an engagement ring and then she says, well, I don't know, I'm going to tell you in a couple of days. And then she says, wait, I want to go out with somebody from Florida and Louisiana before we get married. I mean, this crazy, it has been cray-cray from the get-go. Sexton and Lane are holding up everybody. John Sumball at Tulane, he's waiting to see. Florida's got to hire a coach. Ole Miss has got to hire a coach if Kiffin leaves. LSU, have they done their due diligence and having a backup plan if Kiffin leaves them on the altar? Hopefully we have some finality. If LSU is not introducing the coach as the new coach next Monday, then I see problems in the capital city, because you've got to make sure you secure this recruiting class. Look at everybody up in the air. And so I don't know if I've ever seen anything like this, Mike and Steve, when you talk about a fired coach, a fired offensive coordinator, a fired AD, and now here it is, a coach and his agent holding LSU with more leverage than they could ever imagine. Tigers are not in a good spot if Lane Kiffin leaves them off the altar.
Buddy, in something that just broke maybe about a half an hour ago, but North Texas head coach Eric Morris is expected to become the new head coach at Oklahoma State. Now, here's the kicker with that. He's also expected to coach out the rest of North Texas's remaining games, and that would include a potential American Conference title game and maybe in the CFP. Now, again, that's North Texas. That's not Ole Miss. And Eric has never been a guy that has constantly flirted with other teams. The thing with Lane is, when does it become enough's enough? That's my thing with it. When is it enough? And I talked to an Ole Miss individual today that told me, hey, if he goes, he goes. Stays, he stays. Doesn't matter. I'm not giving any more money. He sort of has shut this down that, hey, listen, I'm not giving any more money to Ole Miss. Either way, if he comes to LSU and they hire a new coach, or he stays, I'm not giving any more money to LSU until I can see what they do with that head coaching position. And I'm sure the interim coach would be Joe Judge, who's a former Giants head coach. Here's the crazy part about that. You know where he graduated from? Mississippi State.
Yeah.
You talk about a twist and turn.
Right. How are these Ole Miss players going to react tomorrow, Friday? My days are crazy because of these holidays. But on Friday, how is that team going to react? You know they want to get to 11-1. You know they want to make the CFP. But they've got to be wanting to talk to this guy. And, in fact, I think on Twitter there was some back and forth with the running back in Lane. And so, I mean, him and Jimmy might be enjoying it, but nobody else is. But in your question, right now, I would say LSU people are thinking 60, 70, 80% that he's coming. I will say this. You ever really be able to predict the next play that Lane's going to call on the offensive play sheet? I equate it like that. He doesn't want anybody knowing what he's doing. He's not going to telegraph it. But I'll just be honest, Mike. I think you and I echo the same sentiments. Everybody is ready for this soap opera to end.
My final question for you. This looked to be Brian Kelly's best recruiting class in the state of Louisiana that he's ever had, to be honest with you. I think he did a really good job of securing most of the top talent in the state of Louisiana. Him not being there anymore, we've only had one decommitment, and that was a young man from the Florida area. Can they keep this class together? And what will it take to keep this really good recruiting class together? Because signing date is really Wednesday. That's when basically 95% of the signings go on.
Normally, I would give you a different answer, but what LSU did this year, Mike, is they got these kids hooked up with NIL deals. Richard Anderson from Carr, Lamar Brown, all these guys, the receivers, they've got about 11 or 12 that are solid, and they want to add. They may even have a few more. But, look, we can't answer that question until we know who the next coach is. I will say this. They did a great job of getting those guys on the same page, getting them some NIL deals. And as we know at the line of scrimmage, you can't afford to be losing the big 6'3" 340-pound D lineman. Lamar Brown's a kid that can play both ways. They've got an excellent class coming in. But I don't know if we can predict that. They're hoping that they can hold on to it. That's why, to me, This decision's got to come down. You've got to have a coach introduced at LSU next Monday, or it really could get crazy.
Buddy Sonji, TigerBait.com analyst, thankful for your time. Have a great Thanksgiving, buddy. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, buddy. Happy Thanksgiving, bud. All righty, buddy.
That LSU update brought to you by First American Bank, a banking tradition since 1910. For the latest on LSU search for the next head coach, keep it locked right here on WWL, folks. We're going to take a break. Be back with more from the Rouse's Market and Home on Martin Luther King Boulevard, folks. Be right back after this on WWL.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vien and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back into a special edition of Sports Talk. Hang out at the Rouse's Market in Houma on Martin Luther King Boulevard as we get ready for Thanksgiving on Thursday. Now time, though, for Two Lane Tuesday, brought to you by Fleet Supply Warehouse, providing wholesale distribution with next-day delivery throughout South Louisiana. Head coach of the Green Wave now, John Sumrall, here with us on WWL. Coach, how you been doing, man?
I'm good. Appreciate you guys having me on. Hope all is well.
Coach, I had to do my shopping, so we're doing this, the interview while I'm in Rouse's. So, they got to cut me a little bit of slack with all that. Coach, congratulations. This was the most complete game your football team has played all year. And I give you a lot of credit, you and your coaching staff, to get them ultra-focused on here, because on the road in Philly, playing against Temple's got some players on that team. People don't realize they got some players. And I thought really from jump start, you guys sort of dominated the pace of the game and really did a good job of once you got them down. Now, you'd like to get touchdowns instead of field goals. I get that part. But, man, once you had them down, you didn't let them up.
Yeah, I thought we played complimentary football in all three phases. I thought defensively we got them off schedule at times, and they're a team that wanted to stay on schedule and not get behind the chains, and we were able to force them into some longer third downs, and that helped us. And then offensively, we moved the ball. We stalled out a couple times. Obviously, had to kick field goals, but Durkin was clutch, man, 5 for 5 with a 50-yarder and a 52-yarder. And really offensively, I felt like at times the only thing that stopped us is ourselves a little bit. We just didn't quite execute a couple things, throw and catch a couple times, and maybe target one or two things in the run game. But really a dominant performance. The only time I felt like momentum shifted away from us significantly was in the third quarter. They pulled within 26-13, and we took a kickoff return all the way to the other side of the field, plus side of the field, gave our offense a short field win, scored a touchdown, and that really sort of put the game out of reach. We went for two, got up 34-13. At that point, 21-point game, our guys were able to create that separation, stall out maybe the momentum that Temple created for that spot of the third quarter.
Coach, we've talked about him a few times, but boy, you got your running back. And man, you could tell Temple to adjust to his speed and his ability to cut the corner. And when he gets in the open field, man, good luck trying to catch him out once he gets a step.
Yeah, Jamari's really growing right before our eyes, man. You know, like I've said multiple times, he's a young football player. He played 2 years of high school football, and this is his second year in college. He redshirted last year. His maturation process is happening now. You're kind of seeing his development really come on quickly now. The last 2 weeks, he's played at a high level. He's got great physical giftedness. He's always been a big, athletic, fast guy. But really now he's playing the game in a manner that I think is special, and it's fun to watch him start to kind of unlock what that potential looks like.
Coach, I know one of the things we had talked even before the season started, I know you really liked what you had up front along the defensive line. You had some new pieces along the offensive line. But their physicality in this game really showed up against a physical team, which is what Temple is. I came away watching that game really impressed with the physicality and to be able to move people up front. You know, they always talk about give me trick plays and all that. Man, trick what? Man, I'm going to run the ball when I want to and when I have to. And I thought you were able to do that in this game against Temple.
Yeah, I agree. You know, they have been really good at ball control, not turning it over, and then really winning on the ground in the run game on both sides. And I think we ran for 175, if I'm not mistaken. They ran for 20 yards. And so when you do that, you know, you can throw to score, but you got to run to win. And I thought we ran the football effectively. I thought we stopped the run really well. It was fun to see our guys put a complete performance together in the run game on both sides.
Your linebacking core, man, with Sam Howard. Now, I've told you this before. I'm a big fan of Sam. They got guys bigger, stronger, faster. But his instincts, his leadership skills, his ability to quickly process what's going down in front of him, I think is so, so impressive. And then also, too, Chris Rogers.
Yeah, Sam, it's great having him back. He's an emotional leader of our team and defense. When his presence is there, you just feel it. And so it's awesome having him back. And then Chris has made some significant strides this year. You know, he's always been a good player, you know, but you're seeing him really elevate and grow and expand his role and step up. He stepped up as a leader in Sam's absence. It's funny you brought up Sam. My brother called me today. My brother lives in Atlanta, and he called me. And he's like, hey, I know sometimes on third down and long, I'll take Sam off the field. He's like, I'm not a coach, but I think you should leave Sam Howard on the field all the time. I'm like, thanks, bud. I'll get to work on that. So he had lots of ideas for me. But, you know, Sam's playing really good. It's fun to see him back with us.
Early on, the big play to Chaz Preston, and I've told you this before, I saw him play so much at St. James High School, and the one guy I would compare him to when he was in high school was Jarvis Landry. When Jarvis was at Lutcher, and it was none of this 50-50 stuff, when they threw it up in the air at St. James, it was like 90-10. Preston was going to catch it, and he was going to do what he had to do to out-physic you. Also, maybe get up in the air, make a play with arms and hands around him. But to come up with that big play early gave your team, you know, confidence and, hey, we got it rolling here, especially when you do that on the road. I think that is really important to jump on a team early when you're playing away from home.
Yeah, Chaz has been a big part of a fast start now twice in 3 weeks. You know, the first play from scrimmage on offense at Memphis, he caught the post. That was a big one. And then this past week, play two from scrimmage caught the post for a touchdown as well. And then Chaz is really taking some huge strides forward. When he got here, I've voiced this several times with y'all. You know, he had to kind of redefine himself a little bit. He had maybe lost his confidence or his edge about what type of player he was. And he is he's rejuvenated. He's playing at a high level. He's an athletic guy, a physical guy. He's got great play strength. He's got strong hands and catches the ball well. You know, he's a guy that when those DBs have to go tackle him, they don't realize until they get up on him. You know, he's almost like, I'm not saying he's Debo Samuel, but he's a bigger dude that is not an easy tackle for a lot of those DBs. And so, man, he's playing good football. It's awesome to see the steps he's taken. And it's fun to see his success.
How do you kind of refocus your team now? They knew how big this game was on the road against Temple. And everybody looks at that record for Charlotte. And you can get beat anytime you get on the field. But what has been something you really stressed this week in playing a team that has really not played well this year at all?
Yeah, well, you know, we played UTSA and we got the dog beat out of us, right? UTSA was up 7-0 at halftime on these guys. Right, North Texas, who's, you know, probably got a really good shot at being our conference championship game for our league, it was tied with them at halftime. Right, so, you know, when you play this game, they don't at the coin toss get out pieces of paper and read your resume or your record and go, all right, we're just going to name this team the winner because they got a better record. You got to earn it. You got to play with an edge. You got to play with demeanor and a little chip on your shoulder. You got to freaking bring it. And so if our guys don't come out with the mindset of like, let's play to our standard, let's play with a little bit of a chip on our shoulder and a passion and enthusiasm that can't be matched. If that's not how we walk into any game, man, we're going to get our butt kicked. And so we got to be ready to show up and play the game the right way.
Gotcha. Someone asked me to ask this question to you, and I think it's a good one. Your expertise is on the defensive side, the football. How much are you involved when they get up the game plan offensively to take a look at that? You know the defensive side of the football extremely well, and not everybody knows everything across the board. How much involvement do you have when you get that game plan in offensively to take a long look at it and say, you know, maybe we can tweak it a little bit this way or that way? Are you involved with that or basically, hey, y'all come up with the game plan offensively, I'll work on the defensive side?
No, you know what? I allow my defensive staff to put the game plan together, the offensive staff to put the game plan together, and my special teams coordinator to put the game plan together. I'm involved with all of it. You know, I don't call any of the plays, offense, defense, or kicking game, but there's not calls going to the game where I'm like, I got no idea what's going on right here. Like, I know I got my fingers on all of it. And so I pop in with all three sides. There's not a special teams meeting that happens in our building that I'm not a part of. And then on offense and defense, you know, I let the staff work, but then I walk in and I give them some thoughts and some ideas and some things that I think could be helpful, maybe based upon the structure of the opponent's offense or defense and what our strengths and weaknesses are, and maybe some things that we're not doing well or we do well. And so, you know, as the head coach, I think I'm there to help everybody maybe fine tune things and look at all of the details that can make us better. And then in game on the headset, I kind of help the offensive staff with what I see the defense trying to do to us. And so I can tell them usually what the pressure is going to look like before it comes, because I can tell by the demeanor of maybe a blitzing linebacker or safety what they're going to bring. And so it's a collaboration. I got great coaches, man. Our staff is amazing. I don't micromanage them, but I definitely get involved in every part of it so that we can be as efficient, as effective as a staff as possible.
Coach, you got National Signing Day the 3rd. That is next Wednesday. So you getting a game plan together along with your coaches, but also sort of on the balance, you also sort of checking up on recruits here. What would you expect to sign from the high school ranks this coming Wednesday? Well, Wednesday.
Yeah, we just lost a commitment yesterday, a good one that is a big-time receiver, a four-star kid, so I'm kind of disappointed in that one. But we're recruiting a different maybe type of water than we have in the past at Tulane. I mean, we've lost a kid or two to SEC schools in the process this year late, but, man, we feel good about the group we got. You never know until the ink's dry with a guy signing on signing day. But I like the group we have. I think we got a solid class put together, and we just need to close strong. We're still very much going to always lean on recruiting good high school players, developing them. And then we use the portal more as a supplemental mechanism than a team, like build your whole team mechanism. So the high school ranks for us is important. And next Wednesday will be a big day.
Joey's awesome stuff hearing from you. We want to know now, too, the big question, Thursday, Thanksgiving, what is Coach Summerall going for seconds on?
Man, all of it. A little, like, second time I go back for all of it, just a little bit smaller portion. But
damn, Coach, you sound like me.
Hey, come on, dog. Got to eat, cuz. Got to eat.
I hear you, brother. I hear you.
Always appreciate the time. Thank you, Coach.
Thank you, Coach.
Thank y'all. Roll weight.
All right.
That's Tulane Tuesday, brought to you by Fleet Supply Warehouse, providing wholesale distribution with the next day delivery throughout South Louisiana. Taking a break here on Sports Talk. We're at the Rouse's Market in Houma, Martin Luther King Boulevard, getting our groceries ready for Thanksgiving, folks. Stop by, say hey. We'll be right back with more right after this on WWL. We're back here at WWL Sports Talk, live from Rouse's Markets in Houma on Martin Luther King Boulevard. As you get ready for your big Thanksgiving spread, folks, Rouse's has you covered with fresh ingredients for gumbo, dressing, casseroles, and every traditional dish. Pick up sweet potatoes, Gulf oysters for your dressing, Merlotom for your family recipes, and an unbeatable selection of beer and wine to pair with all your meals. Rouse's truly is your local low-price leader. Stop by and say hey. Once again, we're here today, Rouse's Market at Houma and Martin Luther King Boulevard, getting ready for Thanksgiving. We're going to take that break, come back and close out the first hour of Sports Talk on WWL after this. Welcome back into Sports Talk, closing out the first hour here at the Rouse's Market, 2233 Martin Luther King Boulevard in Houma. Next hour, folks, we're going to be joined by Odyssey NFL insider Mark Schlereth, talking all things Saints and the NFL. Then I want to let you all know in the 7 o'clock hour, join the voice of the Saints, Mike Haas, for his guest this week on the Saints Hour, Michael Parenton, VP of Player Personnel, talking about today's roster moves. Also, rookie linebacker Danny Stutzman. 8 p.m., you got a choice, folks. LSU Football Radio Show on WWL FM 105.3 and the Odyssey app, or it's Pelicans Weekly. Go inside Pels Basketball on the big 870 WWL AM. Coming back with more Sports Talk. First, though, top of the hour news break. Be back with more right after this on WWL, folks.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What is up, everyone? Welcome into hour number two of our special edition of Sports Talk at the Rouse's in Houma. Make sure you stop by, say hey to me and Mike if you're out here grabbing your groceries for your Thanksgiving spread. Mike, we had some news today from the Saints. It wasn't a surprise with the roster move at kicker. A few other moves were made, though, by this squad that they announced. Looking here, GM Mickey Loomis announced today that the club has signed running back Evan Hull from the practice squad to the active roster, activated tackle Barry Wesley from IR. They signed Cade York, running back Ian Wheeler, and wide receiver Samori Torre to the practice squad. wave groupie, and terminated the practice squad contracts of Jaquan Jackson, the wide receiver, and linebacker Iku Liotta.
Yeah, Evan Ho, former Northwestern running back. I know a lot about him from Zach. Man, Zach would talk about, man, Evan Ho, man, you know. Zach would say, he ain't big, he ain't fast, he ain't quick, but he's tough. North-South guy, pretty good receiver coming out of the backfield. Would be a number three back on any team.
Okay.
You know, if you're going to keep him on the active roster. This team better look around for another halfback. I mean, they...
Because it's looking right now...
With Kamara's injury...
I was going to say, the signs with Kamara doesn't look like he's playing Sunday.
Yeah, and, you know, you... If you heard Coach Moore last night, he said the knee injury was concerning.
Right, I heard
man,
that.
Man, listen,
for sure.
Anytime some coach tell me it's concerning, I'm concerned.
Yeah.
That is just more than a 1 week type injury at this stage for Alvin. So we'll see what happens. But Evan's tough guy, short cut runner, good receiver coming out the backfield. He will not be one of these guys you can say, man, he's fast. Man, he's big. You know, man, he's a bulky back. Man, none of that. He don't check the boxes off.
At least a feisty guy.
Man, he's a feisty guy. Right. And I know Zach say, hey, he went to Northwestern, Mike. So you know what that one thing about him? He's smart. I was like, okay, but that don't mean nothing. I can go to Harvard and Dartmouth and Brown and get them smart dudes. It don't mean they can play ball. Well, he would always get a kick about that. But he was the first one to tell me about Evan Ho. And early in his career, and I'm talking about – either freshman or a sophomore, he was talking about Evan Ho, and that, man, he said, we got something there. That guy's a really good college runner. Zach wasn't sure if he could play at the NFL level. And, again, if he plays, he'll always be that number three back. So, man, Devin Neal is going to get a lot of touches when they play against Miami.
I told my son for fantasy football yesterday, I was like, make sure you put in your waiver request for Devin Neal if you're looking for a back right now, because he's going to get the touches.
He's going to get a lot of them against Miami. Now, the thing against Miami, you better stop the A-chan.
Running and receiving.
Yeah, he is legit, I think, from a running back standpoint, the fastest running back in the NFL. And, boy, he turned that corner. Yeah, good ruck, as I always tell you, trying to catch him in the open field. Man, that dude can run. They might have receivers that can run close to him, but ain't no running back running close to him. Man, just a fantastic, and he's a shortcut back. He's built just like a track sprinter. And that, man, upper body's all yoked and big thighs, and he turns that corner. And I'll never forget that A&M game. He's still running. LSU couldn't lay a glove on him most of the game, and he had a 101-degree fever and an ankle injury. Sure wouldn't have wanted to see him if he was healthy. Because, man, he was something that night.
That fever had him running hot.
He was running hot now. LSU wasn't hot, but he was running hot.
Mike, we're going to take our WWL talk and text line. You can sound off as well, folks. 504-260-1870, hanging out here at home at the Rouse's Market, Martin Luther King Boulevard. We're going to check in with Hollywood. Hollywood, what you got for us today on Sports Talk?
Hey, Steve. Hey, Mike. How you doing?
Well, what's going on, great. Hollywood?
I wanted to tell y'all in person, hello and welcome to Rouse's, but I have some other options to had on Thibodeau. I wish y'all would come to Thibodeau at least once or twice in the football season. We got two big routes.
Talk to DePaul about that.
Yeah, he's Thibodeau. In charge of that. We'll let him know.
Yeah, but man, we love it here coming to, on Martin Luther King. You know, this is probably our third time we've been here. Third or fourth?
I think it's my third, so I don't know how many.
Yeah, I think it's either three or four.
I get spoiled with the chicken here.
This is the new one. This is the real new one, man. And Steve, like this, the home of the chicken. So they eat that
I'm
fried
all
chicken.
In, right?
I just want to talk about, I got my wish by Saints cutting Blake Groupie. I wanted to cut him the second game of the season.
Remember you telling me.
And the indoors, you got to make them kicks. The Atlanta kicker comes in from Atlanta. He makes all the kicks in Atlanta and New Orleans. So that goes to show you Blake Groupie wasn't that good. So I hope the other two kickers come in. But we got to learn how to score seven instead of three.
Yeah, well, you got to learn how to become much more physical at the point of attack. This ain't about trick plays. It's about you. If you get to the 1 yard line or 1.5 yard line, come on, you got to be physical up front and move people to get into that. You got to be able to run the football when you need to and have to. Look at the good teams in this league. If it's the Rams or the Lions in the NFC, Seattle, when they get down that deep, I ain't running no trick plays. They running it at you and saying, I dare you to stop it. I dare you to stop it. And listen, I'm as big a Taysom Hill fan as anybody, but you got to give the kid that opportunity to make some plays when you get down that close.
Hollywood,
you got to find out about Tyler Shough.
Always good to hear from you, Hollywood. Wish you could stop by here at Martin Luther King Boulevard.
Yeah, that far away is in Thibodeau and Homer. Man, that's about a 15-minute ride. Man, Hollywood, I could go pick you up in the break and bring you.
We're going to take a break here on Sports Talk, our special edition at the Rouse's Market.
About that text, I didn't get to see it. And gentleman brought up about Les Miles. And the crazy story about Les, the entire week from Monday to Thursday, everything was out. Les Miles was going to Michigan. And I think Les did agree to that he was going to go to Michigan. His agent tips off Kirk Herbstreit. Kirk starts game day, college game day, with the fact that Les Miles would leave LSU to go to Michigan. What he didn't know to Friday, the board of supervisors said, we don't want Les to leave. I think they came up with extra money, extra things here and there. They got Les to sign a new deal, and then Les comes out there. It wasn't even a press conference. He just come out there and talk about my damn fine football team and all. He was lying through his teeth because he had agreed to a deal with Michigan. And at the last moment, man, you heard him kick it in reverse, and he goes back to LSU. No, what you bring up is absolutely correct. And that was a lot of national people that thought he was going. We doing pregame, and we get a tip from a coach on the staff. All we wanted to know is he staying or going? And we get the text, he's staying.
Bam.
And all that morning, we were getting all kind of calls and texts about, oh, Kirk Herbstreit saying he's going to Michigan. He's going to Michigan. And we had it that one of the coaches said, you know, they had changed his mind, he said, but they had a big meeting, and they satisfied Les's money needs and everything else basically to Friday. So Kirk was right. If he'd have been right, it'd have put him on to Thursday. But by the Saturday, it had all changed. So that's a good text, remembering that.
Taking that break, we're going to come back. Odyssey NFL insider Mark Schlereth joins us, breaking down all things NFL and the black and gold. We shall return with more from the Rouse's Market, Martin Luther King Boulevard, right here on WWL. Who dat, folks? Welcome back, folks, to the WWL special edition of Sports Talk. We're live from the Rouse's Market in Houma. Stop by and say hey to me, Mike Dettillier, here, Martin Luther King Boulevard, hanging out till 7 p.m. when we hand things over to the Saints Hour. Right now, Mike, though, we're joined by Odyssey NFL insider Mark Schlereth, host of the Stinkin' Truth podcast. Listen to the Stinkin' Truth podcast now on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. Insider calls are brought to you by Nationwide. For your insurance and financial needs, Nationwide is on your side. Mark, always love hearing from you, man. How's the podcast doing?
Everything is good, man. We're rolling right along as per usual and having a lot of fun doing it. So, you know, all is good right now.
Mark, you talk about stinking. Man, the Saints red zone, this is really stinking. Come on, you're moving the football up and down the field. You get inside the 40, it's either a missed field goal. And, well, Blake Groupie's going now. Cade York, the former LSU kicker, who's bounced all over the league in three places in a short period of time, is the new kicker. But you've been on some teams and maybe some struggles in the red zone. Bob and I have talked about this. A lot of times you get to the 1 or 2 yard line. Man, you can't trick people. You got to physically line up and beat them off the snap and get a push up front. We haven't seen that with the Saints. It's almost like trick plays if they get inside the 5 yard line.
Yeah, I mean, you know what? That is one of those things. I always say this in the red zone as well. Like, that's where you really determine whether you know how to run the ball or not. You know, it's like a lot of people get fooled by yards per carry. A lot of people get fooled by, you know, you may have 2 breakout runs, and the next thing you know, you have 130 yards rushing, and everybody goes, oh, we had a good day rushing. I'm like, no, you didn't. You averaged 2 yards a carry, except for the 2 breakouts. One of them you had on 3rd down and 7, and you popped a draw for 37 yards. You know, like, that's not running the ball. Running the ball is when everybody on offense and everybody on defense and everybody in the stands knows you're going to run it, and you can still get 4 yards. You can still drive the, you know, you can still create first downs against in short yardage situations in the red zone. Those are the things to me that indicate whether you can run or not. And on the goal line, you're 100% right. They've got a body count advantage, and you've just got to be able to not only get a push, but then your running back has to BYOB, which is bring your own blocker. You got to run somebody's ass over and get yourself in the end zone. And that, to me, determines whether you can truly run the ball or not. And that's what, you know, that's what you've got to be able to do down there.
Man, we watched the Rams, and it was like like an 8-car collision. I mean, they hit Tampa Bay every which way but loose. It's just a dominating performance again by the Rams offense. It's like the ball never touched the ground with Stafford. But how impressed are you with the fact that they run now, and we had, I think last year, that I read the stat, they were in 13 personnel, three tight ends, 8% of the time. Now is the standard for what they run the offense with the three tight ends. That, to me, to change that quickly goes to show, man, Sean McVay, just how sharp a guy he is to adjust to the personnel that you have. It helps out in the running game that you got an extra big man, but also, too, boy, throws a lot of pressure, because how are you going to match up with that big tight end if he takes off downfield and you can use a lot of that right over the middle? Man, the Rams really, really look like an unbelievable football team at this stage and the best team in the NFC.
I think the best team in the NFL. I just think, I look at the Rams. I think there's one dominant team in the NFL right now. That's the Rams. And I know the Patriots are 10-2, and you know, they've got some injuries on the offensive line now, so they're going to be out with without their starting, you know, their two rookies that start on the left side. They're going to be, you know, minus those two guys for at least a few weeks. So that's not going to bode well. And I know the Broncos, you know, defense is exceptional. Offense has been sputtering, you know, it's kind of been up and down a little bit, but the Rams look like the most complete teams. You're 100% right. Like, I remember going back to 2017, 2018 when Sean McVay first came in the league, and they ran 98% of their personnel groupings were run out of 11 personnel, three wide receivers. And the only time they got out of three wide receivers was on the goal line and in kneel down situations. That was it. And now they're almost exclusively, you know, a bunch of three tight end formations, two tight end formations. And, oh, by the way, they're the number one team in football when it comes to playing under center. And you look at the teams, the three top teams, I believe this is as of like a week ago. I was looking at this up. But I think the three top teams, under center teams, were the Rams, the Seattle Seahawks, and the San Francisco 49ers. You want to talk about kicking it back to old school 90s football, and Matthew Stafford, 27 straight touchdowns without an interception. I mean, they are a phenomenal, phenomenal football team. So much fun to watch. But you know what I loved on Thursday or Sunday night was there was an incomplete pass. I think it was on a third down. It ended a drive, and Sean McVay walks up the sideline and he's like barking back and forth with Stafford. And then he walks away and he comes back down when they're on the sideline and barks at him again. And it's a level of accountability. Like, we expect, like, it's almost shocking to them when they don't execute something. And, you know, and McVay was, you know, you could see how irritated he was. And, you know, I talked about it on the Stink of Truth podcast. It's like everybody talks about availability being the best ability. And when it comes to abilities, I don't even know what ability is. But to me, it's responsibility and it's accountability. And, man, they have that. Like, they have that accountability. You could see it on that one play. They're up 30 to whatever. Like, they're crushing Tampa Bay. And they're pissed that they didn't convert. Like, that to me is that's how special they are right now.
Man, when I look at it in the AFC, you're right about the injuries to the Patriots. And, man, a guy that, you know, I'll go back to the high school ranks with Will Campbell, and I thought he was having a really good season at that left tackle position. He's down. And what does that do now to, you know, Drake May? Because the one thing, the two rooks, they didn't play like rookies. I mean, those guys, and listen, nobody's going to have a good time with Myles Garrett. And they didn't really do much that really helped that, which actually sort of surprised me that they didn't give him more help than what he had. But the Patriots at this point now have to really hang their hat on Drake May. But they can't get away from that identity. And I think, Mark, they got something with Travion Henderson. They got a guy there. You, even though you lose your left tackle and left guard for a while, I don't think you can get away from what has won for you. And I don't think Coach Grable's going to get away from that.
No, I don't think so either. The other thing you have to be able to do is you got to be able to understand what the issues are. And I think they're perfectly built because of Josh McDaniels. That guy is so good offensively. And I always think the biggest thing you have to do is not just attack the weakness of the defense, more important than attacking the weakness of the defense, which he's excellent from a game planning standpoint. But truly, the biggest issue is mitigating your own potential weaknesses. And now that you've got a new left side of your offensive line, that's going to be the big thing. We've got to mitigate potential disaster over there, and we've got to give our guys an opportunity to have success. And a lot of that comes down to play calling. A lot of that comes down to how are we going to help those guys? How are we going to turn protection? What are we going to do to keep guys in? How are we going to line up two tight ends over there and do that? You know, all the different things that you do to alleviate some of the issues that losing starters is going to create. And I'm not saying that's going to be easy, because there's a reason there's starters and there's a reason there's backups, right? The starters are better. And so you're really going to have to be top-notch, top-level here in the next couple of weeks coaching to mitigate that potential disaster.
Insider Call is brought to you by Nationwide for your insurance and financial needs. Nationwide is on your side. Stink, when you look at this Miami team that the Saints are going to travel and visit this Sunday, what have you seen from the Dolphins, man? Because there have been a really big roller coaster, I guess you could say, of a season. They're riding high right now, having won their last two, at least before going into the bye week. But, man, it's been ugly so far.
Yeah, well, I will say they're playing much better as a unit on defense, much better defending the run. They really struggled early this season, had a bunch of young guys playing. And, you know, they played hard, but they were just out of position a lot. And so they've certainly played better on that side of the ball without question. I think the biggest thing is, you can say whatever you want about Mike McDaniels. And, you know, I make fun of, you know, Coach Capri Pants and you know, and we're going to start meetings at 24 after because we haven't won a playoff game in 24 years and stupid things like that that drive me crazy. But I'm going to tell you, from a play design standpoint and using his personnel to his advantage, man, he has been on point the last couple of weeks. They run more two back, two tight end situations, and they use, I think they're the number one team over the last 3 weeks of using an extra offensive lineman, which is Daniel Brunskill, the guy that played in San Francisco under Mike McDaniels, and they are crushing people on the edges of the defense. Achan is unreal outside the numbers. They really do a good job with their pin and pull game. They do a great job with their G lead scheme on the outside. They do a great job of getting Achan to the edge of the defense and capturing the perimeter of a defense. So they've really done a great job with that. And then they use Ollie Gordon inside as a change of pace inside runner. And so they've been great using both those guys in the backfield at the same time. Then all of a sudden bringing Ingold in and being in their ISO game with Ingold, and then Brunskill in there to really capture the edge as well and using off the extra offensive linemen. So they've been great with that. And then running the play action stuff, when I watch Tua, he's not very good as a drop back passer, but he may be the best quick play action hand out of, or the ball out of my hand in under 2 seconds guy in the league. Like, it's unreal how good, how accurate, and how well he throws the anticipatory routes off of play action. So if you can run the ball and set up your play action, your RPO game with Tua, that's where they're cutting people. I mean, flat cutting people up. It's the drop back game that Tua struggles with and hasn't been very good. And if you can get them into a pure drop back game, you got a chance to win. If you let them run the edges and let them run their RPO games and their play action off of that stuff, you're going to get beat.
Stink, I'm going to say it because Hebert's not here, and he is the biggest Cowboy hater in the world. But, man, I'm going to tell you something. Man, their defense has come alive with the trade with Quinnen Williams. They got Clark from Green Bay. They've been able to stop the run. They run the football pretty well. Man, and what a year George Pickens has had at wide receiver. And a lot of people question that move. Why would you go after Pickens? He had been a little bit of a kind of a headache in Pittsburgh. All he's done this year, 67 catches, averaging 15.7 yards a catch. And 8 of his 67 catches end up in the end zone. And guess what? I don't ever have to see double coverage. Not with CeeDee Lamb on the other side, on, you know, mostly in the slot.
Yeah, yeah, they're like Dallas has got a chance, legit chance. You know, playing Kansas City on Thanksgiving Day, Kansas City obviously has to travel. That's never like that's always hard. And I think offensively, the thing I like most right now, the thing that I think is a favorable matchup for the Dallas Cowboys is I think they have more of an identity on the offensive side of the ball than does the Kansas City Chiefs. I think the Kansas City Chiefs are trying to figure out still what they are, where Dallas, I think, knows what they are, and which is crazy, you know, for what are they, 5-5-1 team versus 6-5. But, like, Dallas feels interesting to me. Coming back from 21-0 down, eliminating the big plays on the defensive side, creating some big plays on your offensive side of the ball, having some big-time special teams plays. I thought Dallas was – I just thought Dallas was kind of amazing what they were able to do. And listen, I'm no Dallas Cowboy fan, but I am a Dak Prescott believer and fan. And plus, you know, I live in Denver, so I root for Kansas City to lose every game. And gosh, if Dallas knocked them off on Thanksgiving and made them 6-6 at this point – you're kind of on the outside looking into the playoffs. That would make me happy. I think that would make the whole AFC happy because nobody wants the Kansas City Chiefs in the playoffs because of their pedigree and what they've been able to accomplish over the last 7 years. I mean, think about this. Since this is the 8th year that Patrick Mahomes has started. 7 years, they've gone to 5 Super Bowls. They've been bounced out the latest – they have, or the earliest they have exited the playoffs is in overtime in the AFC Championship game. They've been bounced in overtime twice in the AFC Championship game. That's the earliest their season has ended. So, like, if you're in the AFC and you don't live in Kansas City, everybody wants the Chiefs out.
That is true, man. And if you look at social media, they're the most hated team. I thought the Cowboys were. But the Chiefs, I think, have trumped them on that. I mean, either you like them or you don't. There is no gray area with the Chiefs. None.
Yeah, I respect the heck out of what they've done. I really do. But, you know, I hate them with the white hot intensity of 1,000 suns. So I am rooting for them to lose every game, and we'll see what happens.
Mark, always appreciate your time. Thankful for you joining us weekly. Have a great Thanksgiving, man.
Thank you, Mark.
Happy Thanksgiving, guys. Take care.
All right.
That was Odyssey NFL Insider Mark Schlereth, host of the Stinkin' Truth podcast. Insider Call is brought to you by Nationwide for your insurance and financial needs. Nationwide is on your side. Mark's the host of the Odyssey original, the Stinkin' Truth podcast. Remember to listen to the Stinkin' Truth podcast. That's on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. We're going to take a break, come back with even more of Sports Talk live from Rouse's Market and Home on Martin Luther King Boulevard. As you get ready for your Thanksgiving spread, Rouse's has you covered. Fresh ingredients for gumbo, dressing, casseroles, and every traditional dish. Pick up sweet potatoes, Gulf oysters for your dressing, Merloton for your family recipes.
Merlotons, get that right, Steve.
What I say?
Saying it's not a New Jersey thing.
I don't think we have them up there.
You don't have no Merlotons?
Definitely not. Never tasted one until I came down here, that's for sure.
Okay, you stuff that if it's with seafood and all that? Because a Merloton really don't have a taste, but if you bake it and all that, man, it takes up, you know, that seafood flavor. So you can actually eat the Merloton if you like. Now, some people don't. They'll just eat the stuffing.
Yeah.
But if, you know, Merloton, it really got no taste to it. But it will take the taste of what's in it. It takes those juices away.
Hopefully it's good for you at least.
I guess.
Taking that break. We'll come back with more of our sports talk right after this, folks. Stay tuned on WWL. Getting ready for Thanksgiving, folks, back here on Sports Talk at the Rouse's Market.
Yeah, we're talking food over here.
Luther King Boulevard. Mike's schooling me on Milletons.
Yeah, yeah, you're learning, Steve.
Slowly but surely.
Slowly but surely. And hey, if you come here, they got fresh Milletons, only 10 for a buck. How about that? 10 for a buck. Also, too, you know, if you like boneless rump rolls,
sure
$4.99 a pound. If it's cooked well, man, what a rump roast. I remember Fred Sanford saying that.
If Rouse's only knew how much I basically live at their store in Metairie, it feels like.
Yeah, I know you spend some time there. Not like me because, you know, my wife sent me to go pick up groceries. I'm in bad shape because I don't know where nothing's at. I got to ask all the time. You know, and they say, oh, Mike, let me come show you where it's at. So then you really never learn. Yeah, you know.
Right.
And then as soon as you learn what aisle it's in,
they move it.
Yeah. I'm like, I'll be damned.
We're running short on time, Mike, so we'll get right into our triple option feature. We talk about some of the top topics in sports today, and I'm going to let you lead it off on this Tuesday.
Brandon Cooks was cut, released, however you want to put it, with the Saints, and he signed today with the Buffalo Bills, and they could sure use him because their receiving core is not very good at all. And I'm not saying Brandon Cooks.
Keon Coleman?
Man, hand no telling with Keon, who's quite the character, Yeah, you know, hey, come on, you got to be focused, ready up. Now, Brandon Cooks is in the winter years of his NFL career, but I think he could actually help the Bills because he still can do one thing. He can run. And he can still run. You didn't see that with the Saints, but I think he still has that ability to go over the top. He's not a guy that's going to catch a ton of passes. But, man, the Bills need a lot of help at wide receiver. So they picked up Brandon Cooks from the basically off waivers from the Saints once he was released. And I can understand that move perfectly. If you watch the Bills receivers, they ain't too good. They ain't very good.
Charlie, you're up next on Triple Option. What you got for us tonight?
Guys, I don't remember exactly what press conference it was, but interim head coach Frank Wilson was asked about Monsieur Delane and how lucky they were to have him this year. And he said that he was going to be up for some awards. And shockingly enough, today, LSU cornerback Monsieur Delane was named a finalist for the Thorpe Award, the Jim Thorpe Award, annually given to the best defensive back in all of college football. He's on the list alongside Ohio State safety Caleb Downs, Notre Dame corner Leonard Moore. So it's those three. And he's looking to become the fourth LSU player to win the Thorpe Award. The last three were Grant Delpit in 2019, Morris Claiborne back in 2011, and Patrick Peterson in 2010. Guys, here are some numbers about the insane year that Monsieur Delane has had since coming from Virginia Tech to LSU for this season. He's allowed only 13 receptions for 147 yards and no touchdowns in 10 appearances this season. He's basically given up like a catch a game, but he's also given up only two receiving first downs and is holding opponents to a 38.2 completion rate on passes thrown his way. It's just absolutely ridiculous, guys. LSU's passing defense has been awesome, and it's because they have that guy on the corner, and he's been one of the best DBs in all of college football, absolutely deserving this honor of being a nominee for the Jim Thorpe Award.
Charlie, remember during the summer I met up with Corey Raymond, and I told you, he's trying to tell me something.
Right.
He's like, Mike, if I mess up this group, it's on me. Man, I got some talent here, and man, is Delane something. And I was like, Charlie, he's trying to tell me something about Delane. He didn't get into details because, I mean, that's just how Coach Raymond is. But he was trying to tell me how good Monsieur Delane was, and we've seen it this year. But who had a big game against Western Kentucky? The freshman, DJ Pickett. Man, all of 6'5" of him, he was a monster out on the field. So hopefully, you know, when the new coach comes in next week, one of the big keeps for me, make sure DJ Pickett don't go nowhere.
I'll make things real quick, guys, too, on my triple option. Wanted to bring up today in sports history, and this one, I thought of you, Mike. I wanted to ask you about November 25th, 1980, in the Louisiana Superdome. Sugar Ray Leonard against Roberto Duran.
No mas.
Yeah, I remember just because I was 5 years old and my father was having a party at the house for the fight, so I just remember everybody and a big boxing cake. But, yeah, I just remember going around the house saying no mas.
No, you think about Roberto Duran. He was the baddest cat, okay, pound for pound.
Yeah.
And to give up, basically give up. And I think that was the shocking thing. Then you heard all the stuff that happened before the fight, and then you found it funny he lasted so long. Man, one thing with Roberto, he partied it up a big time. But, man, hands of stone, And Sugar Ray got on him that night and got on him fast. And maybe they had heard the rumors that was going on with Roberto Duran. But, yeah, here in New Orleans, no moss, no moss.
Will there ever be a time possible you think that some big fights will return to the Superdome?
With big fights.
No, I understand that, right.
Because really boxing is now kind of taking the back seat. MMA and, you know, everything else has kind of taken over. And now what you've got, like two generations, they don't remember none of that stuff.
No,
I grew up the heavyweight champion, you know, that was a big thing. Okay, and you had Sonny Liston and then Muhammad Ali and then Joe Frazier and Ken Norton and George Foreman and those guys. And they kind of household names.
Now it's sad. Now, most people can't even tell you who it is.
Yeah, exactly. And so it's a different world. But ask somebody in their 20s about who's the best MMA fighter. They can tell you real quick because they watch it today. And now you've had that generation and a half that have grown up on that instead of boxing.
That's a wrap on our triple option feature here at the Rouse's Market and Home on Martin Luther King Boulevard, folks.
Thank you.
As you get ready for the big Thanksgiving spread, Rouse has got you covered with fresh ingredients, gumbo, dressing, casseroles, and even traditional dishes. Pick up sweet potatoes, Gulf oysters for your dressing, Merlotons for your family recipes. We're coming back with more sports talk. Stay tuned right after this on WWL. Who dat? Got another hour here at the Rouse's Market and Home on Martin Luther King Boulevard for sports talk. At 7 p.m., Mike Haas will have the Saints Hour special guest, Michael Parenton, VP of Player Personnel, about today's roster moves. Also, rookie linebacker Danny Stutzman. At 8 p.m., folks, you got a choice. Hear the LSU Football Radio Show on WWL 105.3 FM and the Odyssey app, or you can hear Pelicans Weekly going inside Pels Basketball on the big 870 AM WWL. Now it's our news break, and we'll be back with more sports talk right after this. Stay tuned, folks. Welcome back in, folks, to our special edition of Sports Talk here at the Rouse's Market in Houma on Martin Luther King Boulevard. Going to take a step into our talk and text line. Happy to welcome in now Frank Selfo, coach of Southeastern. I should say playoff-bound coach after our big win in the River Bell Classic. Thanks so much, time, coach. How you been?
I'm doing good, man. We're grinding away. It's playoff time and great time of the year, right?
Coach, congratulations. Man, I was sure glad that you get it because I thought they kind of stole everything from you last year. You didn't get a chance to play. But now you get that chance in there. And surprised me, three teams from the Southland Conference able to get in. Even Lamar with a loss able to squeak in. But, man, I'm thrilled for Southeastern and you that you're able to get in there. And a big win over Nicholls State Thursday night for the River Bell Classic.
You know, Mike, I think the greatest thing about the River Bell is it is a true rivalry. We got so many kids on both rosters from the state of Louisiana. It's pure. It is the rivalry is almost even. You know, I think we're up a game or two or something like that. Each team has won at the other team's place the last 6-7 years. And we wanted to break that streak this year, and we were able to do it. But that's, I think you saw the passion. There's Nicholls. They've been riddled by injuries all year long. I thought Tommy did a great job holding that team together all year with all the injuries that they had. And for them to come in and play us like they did with the passion that they did really speaks volumes to what this rivalry is all about, that it doesn't matter the records or anything else. It's just a heck of a deal. And then Nicholls, our crowd really showed up, but so did Nicholls State. They showed up, and, you know, the crowd, the band, everything else, and it was great atmosphere for us in Strawberry Stadium, and I couldn't be proud of both teams to be able to do this, you know, for the people of South Louisiana.
Coach, we saw the original, Buck Buchanan. We old enough, we saw the original, but Caleb Proctor. And, man, what a year he's pieced together for the Lions. And now he's a finalist for the Buck Buchanan Award. But, you know, you and I, see, a guy like Geller, you know, he's way too young for that. He don't remember no Buck Buchanan. But you and I saw the original. But, man, tell everybody a little bit about Caleb. Haven't watched him. And he's not the biggest guy around from a height standpoint. But Coach Wood impresses me so much about him is his ability to get off the snap, and he's such a good leverage guy to beat his opponent.
He is, Mike, and I know you watched a lot of guys over the years, and you know what he's all about. You can see talent when it's out there. I really do. I think he's the best defensive lineman in FCS football. I think he might be the best. I haven't seen everybody enough, but maybe the best defensive player in FCS football. and one of the top players in the country. We've had all 32 NFL teams coming through here, you know, to see him practice and watch him play. And as good a player as he is, he's even a better person. He's the catalyst for the season that we're having right now. He had an opportunity at midterm to leave and go take a lot of money. He got tampered with more than anybody I've ever seen in my life. And he just stayed focused on what he wanted to do, which was to earn his degree from here and play a senior year with all the guys that he came in with. And this senior class, there's 25 in there. And there were five or six others that were going to probably jump in the portal till he decided to stay. Then he sat down and talked to them. They had a nice meeting, and they all talked about the commitment to the university, to each other, and to our program. And that, you know, we're reaping the benefits on the field, but I don't think you can ever get back what they have done, not only for Southeastern football, for all of Hammond and really college football altogether, to show that you don't have to bounce around. You don't have to take a little more money or even more money to get in, to enjoy and get the traditional respect that you do out of your teammates that you're going to have for a long, long time, the rest of your life, really. And I think it's sometimes we get on players of this generation about doing things, and this bunch here has been the complete opposite, and Caleb has been the lead dog in that.
Coach, give me a couple names of guys that when you started the season, maybe you weren't quite sure about, but boy, they've come through big for you as the season has kind of gone to a conclusion, regular season, now into postseason.
You know, our seniors are the ones that kind of led us this whole time, Mike. And our quarterbacks, these were two guys that had come in. They've never played before. They've done an unbelievable job, unselfishly splitting time back there and being able to do what we need to do for them. And because of them, the rest of the team sees that. Look, you know this. The quarterback position is the most selfish position on the field, maybe in all of sports. And those guys have just been unbelievable in their support for each other and the leadership that they provide to the rest of the team. So I think our quarterback position is the one spot where you just go, you know, that's where everything came together this year. Offensive line has been solid. Our receivers with Jalen DiMaggio is just, you know, as good as it gets. And then, you know, we got a running back room by committee led by Jaden Henry and DeAndre Jackson and, you know, Calvin Smith and Kyree Paul. So, you know, we've got a group of guys there. On the other side of the ball, our defensive line, Ahmad Bradley, really had a great year for us. And Josh Randall was second on the team in sacks. We talked about Proctor, Rowan Briggs, linebackers with K.K. Reno, who's, you know, just named today as a defensive player of the year in the conference. And then our secondary, that's a senior-laden bunch, Blaine Delahousse. He's been here 6 years and really stepped up and played well. Shakespeare Lewis, Ian Goodley Connolly's an all-conference player, and Zach Johnson at the other corner. We got a lot of good players, you know, and we got a chance to play a lot of players this year, Mike. And I don't know, I'm fortunate. You know, I've been in this long time, and I don't think you have years like this come about every year, and I'm just so fortunate to be able to be a part of this.
Frank, how do you kind of juggle it this week? Because of the fact, you know, guys get distracted. It doesn't take much. Even old men like us, it don't take much to get distracted. But with Thanksgiving coming around, but you got a big game against Illinois State. But then you flip it. A week from now is National Signing Day. I mean, you talk about the calendar catches you. And this is where I think college football has to do a better job in working with the coaches and athletic directors, that the calendar's way too early for a signing period. This got to be moved back, because now you've got all this intertwining of conference championships, playoffs, final games of the season. That puts a lot of juggling on the coaching staff as you're entering that final week of the early recruiting, which now has become a big session, because just we were talking to Coach Rybecki last night. He's expecting he'll sign 18 to 22 guys. At one time, he was maybe waiting for the February period, but now you got to do it earlier.
Yeah, listen, Mike, when you take a look at the powers that be in charge of the NCAA, you just realize how stupid they really are. These are supposedly smart people that can't do anything right. They can't get out of their own way, and they rely on people who are not in this business to give them advice, and that's what they go with. And they don't know what they're doing. So they need to rely on the people who are actually doing this each and every day. The first thing we got to do is we got to get the competition calendar and the school calendar somewhat aligned. And that's not even close right now. And like you said, now with the college football playoffs and FBS and now FCS, both the signing date is going to come at a time when there's a lot of teams continuing to play. We don't have a chance to go out and see the players. We can't get them in here for official visits because we're still playing. And that puts some people behind the eight ball. But then at the end of the day, our commitment as a coaching staff is to our team, not next year's team, not yet. It's to our team right now, and it spreads everybody thin. And I think that's what a lot of people don't realize. And then you got the transfer portal, which is in January, and we're talking right now about teams that are in the playoffs and their coaches are being tampered with, or their agents are tampering outside with other jobs that are going to be leaving in the midst of the playoffs. And tell me how much sense that makes. And so it's about people complain about the players not having loyalty to a program because of the transfer portal. Now we got coaches that are leaving because of they got an opportunity to go somewhere while the teams are still playing. And then you got administrators firing head coaches in the middle of the season. Then they're reaching out to other coaches at other schools, and that's tampering. So it's a complete you know what kind of show it is. But it's all jacked up, and we got to get some more leadership in there. We got to get some people that understand this. I would love to have Nick Saban with his information, what he knows and his knowledge. Guys who have been through this and see what we're going through each and every day and understand it because they've been through it, and have them and have somebody listen to them, not just have a committee every other week of guys who have no idea whether the ball's blown up or stuffed. And I don't know. I know I'm on a soapbox, and I apologize for that. But this is a real situation that's taking place in real time. And I think at the end of the day, the people that get hurt the most are our players. And those are the ones we should be taking care of the most.
Coach, give us a little preview of Illinois State. Bobby was like, Mike, they're the Cardinals. I said, no, they're the Redbirds. He was like, it's all the same animal, right? I was like, okay, I get it. So tell us a little bit about what you
– either one of them, Mike. They'll eat either one of them, a Redbird or
Woody. Woody. Yeah, I agree with that. Tell us a little bit about Illinois State.
Well, what you got there is you got a guy that's the head coach has been there for 17 years. They know exactly what they're doing. They've had a lot of success there in the Missouri Valley, which I think is the deepest conference in the country in FCS. And so he's had a lot of success in that conference, won a national championship a few years back. And he knows what he wants to do and how he wants to do it. Offensively, everything works at the quarterback position. That guy's really he's instrumental in the run game, pass game. A great scrambler. He takes care of the football, Mike. You look at his numbers. I think he's got 28 touchdowns and 5 interceptions. They protect him well. Do not give up sacks. But a lot of it has to do with him. He can get out of trouble or he gets the ball out of his hands. Their receivers are by committee. They've got 4 or 5 guys that they can go to at any time, and I think they feel really comfortable with them. And then their running backs, they got 2 main guys that they get the ball to, very powerful guys. You look at the profile of a Midwestern team, a powerful coming at you downhill stuff, and that's how they run the football. You're not going to have to find them too many times, but you're going to have to fight them the whole time. Defensively, they're an odd front team, and you'll see a lot of pressures. They do a lot of stuff with their front 7 off the edges, strong and weak, and also interior stuff. And our guys are going to have to do a great job identification-wise. I think their secondary is extremely good. They run well, and their coverages, they're mostly a zone team, but they do play some man, but their coverages, they mix and match them throughout the course of the game really effectively. So you're looking at a well-coached team. Look, at the end of the day, there's 24 teams left in the country. Hell, every one of them are good. So I think you could probably give the same scouting report each week from here on out on everybody. And so they're a really good football team, but you know what that means? We're in that 24-2, so we're a really good football team. And I'm looking forward to the matchup on Saturday.
You're damn right. You're a good football team, and they well coach, and that's a big tribute to you. So this coming Saturday in Strawberry Stadium, hey, fill it up, man, and make it loud and proud. Too bad, Frank, we didn't get a hot spell. And, man, really sweat them out. You know what I mean? Man, they ain't used to this kind of heat and humidity if we were able to sweat them out, in late November.
Hey, Mike, I get enough of the hot spell in August. I'm enjoying the heck out of this right now. So, hey, look, I want to plug my son's got a podcast, the other D1, and I want people to go listen to that thing. It's hilarious. Now, he's kind of goofy at times, but boy, I tell you, they got some great insight into Southland Conference football. So everybody be sure to tune in and get over here at Strawberry Stadium on Saturday at noon.
Coach, thanks so much. Hey, congratulations for a great season. I'm going to tell you something my cousin Tim DeTay used to tell me in November. I want to talk to you next week.
Conquer in advance.
I want to talk to you next week, Mike.
I am looking forward to it, Mike. Thank you, buddy, for everything you do for us.
Thank you, Frank.
That was Southeastern football head coach Frank Selfel joining us here on Sports Talk. We're going to take a break. Be back with even more right after this. We'll get into pick six after the break on WWL. Back here on Sports Talk at the Rouses Market in Houma, folks. Martin Luther King Boulevard. Stop by. We are here until 7 p.m. Then hand it off to the Saints Hour with Mike Haas. Are you getting ready for a big Thanksgiving spread? Rouses has got you covered with fresh ingredients for gumbo, dressing, casseroles, and even traditional dishes. Pick up sweet potatoes, Gulf oysters for your dressing, Mirlitong for your family recipes. Stop by at Rouses Market.
Hey, get them Gulf oysters, man. I'm telling you. And now, that cornbread, got cornbread dressing too. You like that, Steve? You like cornbread dressing?
I like all kinds of dressing.
Okay. I got you.
I'm pretty easy to please with food. I don't say no to many things.
Well, you like A-Bear.
Yeah.
And too much, if it don't eat him, he'll eat it.
We're going to get into our pick six segment now, Mike. Charlie, how did we fare last weekend?
Bobby went 4-2. Steve, you and I went 3-3. Mike went 2-4 this past week. Kind of a quick recap here. Mike, Bobby, myself all picked Mizzou. Finally, Steve, you picked OU and they went right for you, so congratulations on that. Bobby got us all on the Oregon game. Oregon ended up covering that big 10.5 point spread against USC. Lincoln Riley shouldn't have trusted him, and oh well, we'll move on. NFL games, it was a split. Bobby and I had taken the Colts. They ended up barely covering that 3.5. I was sweating that one, guys. Both of you took Kansas City and lost. We all lost the Saints, and then real make it simple, we all won the Rams, we all won the 49ers. So updated standings real quick, guys, before we get into college football rivalry week. Mike is 39-40, leading the way with a negative record. That's how bad we've been this year, guys. Bobby and I are tied at 37-42. Steve is at 35-44. Guys, I sent this text to y'all this morning basically saying, like, college football rivalry week, there's a lot of really intriguing games that I wanted to dive into. So we're doing pick eight this week because we got 5 games in college football and then 3 in the NFL week 13. So we got to kind of get through this pretty quickly. We'll go step by step. As always, chronological order. The first game of the weekend that we will be picking is Friday, number 3, Texas A&M, 2.5 point favorites on the road at number 17, Texas. Bobby sent in his picks this week, so I have him. He's got Texas A&M minus 2.5 here. Guys, this feels like one of those games where, you know, you remember last year Texas A&M was hosting Texas and there was all that hype around that game, and then Texas just walked in and whooped them around. I think this is the revenge game for A&M. I think they've been legit all year. I don't care what people say about their schedule and strength of schedule, whatever. I think Texas A&M goes in and knocks Texas out of the playoff conversation for good here and covers a 2.5 point spread on the road.
I'm with you. I like A&M. I just think they're a better team, and their quarterback's playing better. Nothing against Arch, but if you had your choice right now, who would you pick? You'd pick Reed or you'd pick Manning?
Right.
It's an easy pick.
Yeah.
Easy on that. So give me A&M.
Yeah, that's why my pick's easy, too. I'm going with the better team, like you said. It's just 2.5, so give me the Aggies on the road here in Texas.
And then we got a real fun matchup in the Big Ten, guys. Number 1, Ohio State. This line has been all over the place. I think it opened at maybe 5.5, and then it jumped all the way up to like 12.5, and now it's down to 10.5. The Buckeyes at number 18, Michigan. The hump that they can just not get over in recent years, Michigan continues to beat them. This is at the Big House, and Ohio State's getting 10.5 points. Bobby's got Ohio State minus 10.5. Ohio State has been bludgeoning teams all year long. The one thing that gives me any type of hesitancy is that they haven't been able to do it to Michigan recently. But give me the Buckeyes to cover. I think that they win. Michigan's been bad against the spread all season long, guys.
Ohio State's the best team in the country. If Michigan wins this game, man, it's almost like a curse. But I got to go with the Buckeyes. They are loaded everywhere.
Yep.
And you talk about they didn't have their starting receivers last week. And look at what they rolled up. Without Jeremiah Smith and without Cornell Tate. Man, they are absolutely loaded. Now, again, it's a one-game deal, and they haven't had a lot of success against Michigan, especially when Harbaugh was there. But Neil Moore beat them last year.
Right.
But again, for me, Buckeyes.
Yeah, double digits on the road, giving points I usually want to stay away from, but you mentioned it, Mike. The Buckeyes, best team in college football right now. I'll lay the 10.5 in Ann Arbor.
I mean, how many first-round picks are they going to end up having, guys? I'm really actually looking forward to that once we get to April. But, like you said, Mike, it is a loaded roster, the best team in college football. Clean sweep for Ohio State, minus 10.5 on the road. Up next, so all these rivalries, we're having a good time. Then there's just LSU at Oklahoma thrown in here, guys. I don't really understand. I guess it's because LSU's rival games against, like, Ole Miss and Arkansas, they play earlier in the year. Anyways, LSU at number 8, Oklahoma. OU minus 10.5. Bobby's got the Sooners covering that. You know, OU burned me last week when I picked Missouri to cover a decent spread on the road in Norman. So give me OU here. I hate picking the Sooner team because every time I pick them, it feels like they don't cover and the vice versa. But give me the Sooners 10.5. I think that defense is just way too stout.
I think Oklahoma's defense, it would stack up with Ohio State. Now, their offense, Mateer, you don't know what you're going to get out of him since he's gotten back from the injury. But, man, LSU's has shown me nothing on offense. And you going up against one of the best defenses in college football? No, give me the Sooners here.
Good ruck, as Mike would say.
Good ruck.
I'm rolling with Oklahoma, too, guys, just because, you know, we want to talk about offenses being offensive. We've seen the Saints struggling to put up points. The LSU's been not being able to get in the end zone. It's just been a rough year for Louisiana football fans besides Tulane. Obviously.
And Oklahoma's playing for something.
Yeah, exactly. So
that's the other thing.
I'll lay 2.5 Oklahoma here.
Up next, we're heading to Neyland Stadium, number 20 Tennessee, 2.5-point favorites at home against number 14 Vanderbilt. Guys, I will be outright. I think the wrong team is favored here. Give me Vanderbilt easily. Bobby's also got Vandy covering the 2.5-point spread. Tennessee has so many questions defensively, and Diego Pavia is playing very hot football. Give me Vanderbilt. And they're still in the playoff conversation, by the way. They have two losses. I know they're ranked 14. But by the end of the season, if they have a 10-2 resume out of the SEC, it's at least a conversation here, guys. So give me Vandy. They got more to play for on the road at Tennessee.
Man, I love Vandy, and Pavi has just been magnificent. And really, they had Alabama by the teriyaki, so to speak. And they let him loose. Pavi tried to be Superman in that game, and it backfired. Charlie, I know you remember that. But yeah, cover late in the game.
I hated it.
By Alabama. So Vandy here for me, and I agree with you. To me, this is a pick'em game or Vandy favorite. I don't get it. I don't know what they seen with Tennessee, to be honest with you. Give me Vandy because they better at quarterback. And I know this, they may play this game. This is our bowl game. This is our bowl game. We may not get into that top 12. This is where we show them how good we are.
It's becoming a very boring week with our picks, guys, because I'm rolling with Vandy as well. I was surprised to see Tennessee favored by 2.5 at home here.
Yeah, me too. Because I thought this would be a pick'em game. Basically, I really thought it'd be a pick 'em game. And to see that, and I get points. What? Give me that.
Sure.
Yeah, Vegas has been kind of weird with Tennessee games, guys. I think that they're kind of overestimating the effect of that home crowd, but we'll see. Anyways, guys, wrapping up with one of the funnest matchups of the entire weekend because of the situation that we're sitting at, the Iron Bowl, number 10 Alabama, 5.5-point favorites at Auburn. Jordan-Hare Stadium, if you ask any Alabama fan, they will say that place is haunted. They are not looking forward to this game. I talked with Dan Barron earlier on today, and I was just like, how you feeling, Dan? He's just like every other Alabama fan, I am worried about this upcoming weekend. Auburn can knock their rival out of the playoff conversation with a win here. This would basically be their Super Bowl, and Alabama's got it all to play for after losing to OU a couple weekends back, guys. Bobby's got Alabama minus 5.5. I ultimately agree with him. I think that Ty Simpson and the Bama offense does enough here, at least in that passing attack, to get after Auburn's defense, which has been kind of so-so this year, guys. Give me Alabama on the road. I feel pretty wishy-washy about this one, but I think that the Crimson Tide and Kalen DeBoer ultimately get it done.
I think the big key here is Ty Simpson.
Right.
He's the big edge at quarterback. And, man, Alabama's secondary has really played well, especially in the latter part of the year. And that's playing to Auburn's strength is those receivers. Man, if I'm looking around, listen, it's open season. I'm trying to grab a couple of them receivers Auburn got because them dudes can play. Now, I don't know who can get it to them. Roll Tide. I know, Dan, you'll like to hear that, so I'll go with Alabama.
Another boring selection for me, guys, because I'm with you again in this one. So another clean sweep. Roll Tide indeed. Give me Bama minus 5.5 at Auburn.
That is five clean sweeps for rivalry weekend, guys. We all have Texas A&M. We all have Ohio State. All have Oklahoma, Vanderbilt, and Alabama rounding it out. And after this, we'll come back with three NFL games.
You heard it from Charlie Long. We'll be back with more of Sports Talk here at the Rouse's Market in Houma on Martin Luther King Boulevard with more Sports Talk after this, folks. Stay tuned on WWL. Back here on Sports Talk, folks, as you get ready for your big Thanksgiving spread, Rouse's has you covered with fresh ingredients for gumbo, dressing, casseroles, and every traditional dish. Pick up sweet potatoes, gulf oysters for your dressing, militon for your family recipes. You got it. We're going to continue our pick six segment. We got through for college selections, and unfortunately, everybody was the same right there. We'll see if there's any differences in our three NFL games. Charlie, what you got for us?
Guys, I think we'll at least have one difference, and we'll get to that later on. We're starting with Thanksgiving Day. The game that we ended up picking was the Packers at the Lions. Bobby's got the Lions -2.5, and oh boy, I was back and forth on this one. I'll take the Packers. This is such a toss-up type of game for me. I like both teams a bunch. I think that this is probably a bigger game for the Lions than it is the Packers if you look at the current standings. But the Packers were so impressive this past weekend, guys, against the Vikings. I know that J.J. McCarthy's having his struggles, but that defense really roared to life. I'm leaning on the Packers' defense here and taking the points +2.5 in Detroit, guys. I don't feel great about it, though.
I love the Lions. I just think Thanksgiving Day in Detroit, they're a team that they need. The Packers, again, they play with your food team. Constantly. If they do that in this game, they're going to get beat. I'm just telling you. They better jump on Detroit early. I like the Lions.
Yeah, I see Dan Campbell with the big turkey leg at the end of the day. I'm going to roll with the Lions, too, here, -2.5.
I will stand alone with the Packers. I feel like they play up and down to their competition as well, guys. So I know the Lions are a really good team. It should be a really fun game. Up next, we got the Black Friday matchup, which will be a game that's on WWL. The Bears at the Eagles. The Bears are a surprise team in the NFC. The Eagles coming off a terrible loss to the Cowboys this past week, guys. But Philadelphia, 7-point favorites at home. Bobby's got the Eagles -7. I don't want to say the Bears are on fraud alert or anything like that, but I'll also take the Eagles. It's a 7-point spread. I think that they win by at least a touchdown.
Yeah, Philly gets introduced to Caleb Williams this week, so looking forward to seeing how that shakes out.
So who are you picking?
I'm going with the Eagles at home after that collapse against the Cowboys.
Man, how bad is that?
Awful.
Terrible.
So you know how Bobby's got that comment. It's a great day in America when the Saints win and the Cowboys lose. I thought about him. Man, when I saw 21-0, I'm like, well, goodness at least gracious. Then I flipped the game on, and I'm like, uh-oh.
Right.
We're in trouble here.
7-14 tied up. Uh-oh.
And listen, they went for it on 4th-and-1 and didn't get it.
Right.
And gave the Eagles another shot. I got to figure somewhere along the line, the Eagles bounce back. This is a shaky pick for me, but I'm going to go with Philly.
All right, guys, that is a clean sweep for the Eagles -7 at home against the Bears on Black Friday. Wrapping things up, we have the Saints at the Dolphins on Sunday for Week 13. Miami -5.5 at home. Bobby's got the Saints. I will disagree with him here. And just listening to how Mark Schlereth talked about Mike McDaniel and how he keys up that offense to play to its strengths, it's got me worried for the Saints defense in this one. Give me the Dolphins -5.5. I know they've been very wishy-washy, up and down, hot or cold, whatever you want to call it. I think that they win by a touchdown.
Yeah, to me, the Saints have no running game, and they got Deion.
Yep.
To me, that was the big difference in this game. Their defense has played better, but, man, they gave, say, I don't want to say gave away, but they traded their best player defensively, Jalen Phillips, to the Eagles. What happened, Steve? Come on. But he looks good, though. He looks good in that Eagle green.
Right.
But you know what? Man, Dolphins for me.
Yeah, sadly, guys, I'm picking Miami, too. I was all psyched up about that momentum we talked about before the bye week for the Saints at Carolina. They laid a big egg against the Atlanta Falcons, and this team seems allergic to the end zone. I don't see how you can pick the Saints at all right now. I'm going to roll with Miami at home.
They Bobby's are who them. We thought they were.
Yeah.
At the end of it, guys, we're looking at five clean sweeps in college football and then one clean sweep in the NFL with the Eagles on Black Friday. I got the Packers. All three of you had the Lions. And then Bobby's got the Saints, and the rest of us have the Dolphins.
I'll shock it.
We'll see how this shakes out, gentlemen. The good thing is we got Thanksgiving coming up Thursday, and then we got Thursday, Friday, Sunday football for NFL.
I told Bob, if you'd have been against the Saints every time, you'd be way ahead of us. Way ahead here. But he continues to do it. God bless him.
Wrapping up things at the Rouse's Market and Homo, folks. WWO Sports Talk. Be back with even more right after this. Welcome back into Sports Talk, folks. Want to let you all know, tomorrow, don't miss Drew Brees on WWL Sports Talk. He appears every Wednesday. He'll break down the Saints-Falcons game. Also, sizing up the performance coming up against the Miami Dolphins. Don't miss Drew Brees, the ultimate Saints conversation with the legendary quarterback. That's tomorrow, 4:30 on WWL.
Well, he did it. I really thought he did a great job.
See, I missed that, Mike, okay. And I haven't gotten back to
the normally, I listen to Mike and Deuce, but I wanted to hear Drew. And, man, I thought he was really good. Really, really good covering the game between the Saints and the Falcons. I thought he did an excellent job. And listen, you can't go to school for this, okay? You just got to do
it. The feel of it, right.
It's the reps.
Yeah.
And he brought that up last week to us because Bobby's like, man, yeah, you did good, Drew. And he was like, no, I didn't. I needed my reps. I needed my reps, Bobby. But, hey, come to Rouse's. Just remember, you can purchase a Harmel Cure 81 ham. And you can get a free Butterball turkey. How about that?
Well, for Mike Dottiglia, Luke Augusta, DePaul Smith, and Charlie Long, I'm Steve Geller. Have a great night, everybody. From the Rouse's Market here in Houma, Martin Luther King Boulevard. Have a great Thanksgiving, folks. Who dat?
Who dat?
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life, all told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.